Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 22. Acts, chapter 22. I'm going to call your attention to verse 14 and verse 15. From these two verses, I'll pull a phrase from each verse for what I want to share with you today. Verse 14 says, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee." That, denoting purpose, that thou shouldest know his will. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. In verse 14, the phrase, know his will. In verse 15, the phrase, be his witness. The verses clearly tell us that Ananias is instructing Saul of Tarsus and telling him he was chosen that he might know his will, the will of God, and that he might be his witness. Verse 15. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the joy of knowing you as Savior. Thank you for the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the kinship of those around us in this building today that know you and the free pardon of sin. Thank you that when we look to you, we see in them a kinship. And I pray that you would make our fellowship sweet in you today. May the Word of God speak in a thundering voice to our soul, making us aware that without God we can do nothing. But then, Lord, we're keenly aware that there could be someone in our midst today that does not know you. And I pray that you would finger about their heart just now. And may the sharp two-edged sword cut to a dividing asunder of the soul, the spirit, the joint, the marrow. And may Christ himself be honored and glorified in their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm interested in knowing his will, being his witness. You see, when Saul of Tarsus was met on the road of Damascus by the Lord, He asked two questions. In verse 5, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" In verse 6, he said, "What would you have me to do?" You notice the first question was a personal desire to know him. The second one was a readiness to do the will of that one that it saved him by his marvelous grace. I want you to notice, Paul hadn't been in the family but just a moment. He was just birthed in. And the cry of his, "I want to know you." And the obedience of his heart said, "I want to do your will." As far as I know, I don't know, but I don't know in his religion of Phariseeism that they had taught him that. But he had been born into the family of God, and there come a craving hunger. And the thing that I notice is the two questions are connected. I look at these phrases here that are before me, and I notice that they're to be associated with the rest of his life. He just starts here, and all of a sudden, he not only wants to know his will, he wants it to be revealed in his life. He said, "What would you have me to do?" Instant obedience. It's the cry of his heart. There's a lot of illustrations that we could give concerning that. But I want to just jump in here because I don't want to waste time. I know that wouldn't be wasting time. I just got 2 points and we'll be through. I got 24 sub-points, but I only got 2 points. Not really. Just 2 things I want to lay on your heart today that I trust that you'll take home with you. And you'll feel the same thing that the Saul of Tarsus felt when he met with the Master. God has a purpose for every one of us. The purpose first, he wants you to know him and to know his will. What is this man that knows him and knows his will? What is the ideal here? It would seem that the Lord Jesus would say, "He is a man after mine own heart who shall fulfill my will." And that's in chapter number 13. You see, when it comes to knowing his will concerning salvation for others, there's not to be a question in our mind. You'll notice that he makes it explicitly clear. He said, "It's not the will of my Father that any should perish." So you're not going to come up on somebody God don't love. You're not going to get somebody saved Jesus didn't want to save. He said, "It's not the will of the Father that any should perish." He says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If those words are true, God loves your worst enemy. Not his, because he doesn't have them, except those that do against his will. God wants everybody to be saved. So he gives us, first of all, his will concerning salvation. And it's his will that all. I don't know who's left out when you use the word all. Could there be somebody left out when God uses the word all? Then when we come to this thing of sanctification for the saints of God, he said, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." God wants to set you apart. He don't want you just running the same stream. He wants to make you different. And when you study the word holy in the scriptures, the bottom line is difference. God's going to make you different from this world. He's going to make you different for others because you have been brought into the family of one who is different. And being in the sunlight of his love, then it's the grace of God that begins to bloom and flower in our heart and in our life. God wants you set apart. He wants you different. If it's concerning the subject of the second coming, he wants you and I to know that it's the will of Christ that the Father, he said, "I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." That was Jesus' prayer to the Father in John chapter number 17. You see, he's covering it from the start to the center till we're brought into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing that matters is the will of God in your life. Now let me say something about that will of God. Our problem is to know the will of God. Your problem and my problem is to know that will. It's not my problem for the will of God in your life. Now, it would be my problem to get the will of God in your life if I was your pastor. Because it's the desire of the pastor to get the flock to follow in the shepherd. Walking in the light as he is in the light. Oh, I desire that as a man of God. But you see, my only responsibility is that I get in the will of God. Then in the will of God, I can help you to get there. But you see, our problem collectively is to know the will of God. You see, we know it's the will of God that we have His character. We know that it's the will of God that we have His conduct. But when it comes to your career, it becomes individualized. You see, the only one responsible for answering the call of God to preach was Dennis Petty. My mom and daddy raised me right. They wanted me to be saved. But when it come to preaching the Word of God, I was a third boy. And all my life I grew up hearing mom and daddy talk about my oldest brother's going to be called to preach. But when God chose me, you see, it wasn't their choice. It was His choice. And so it was up to me, not them, to know His will. And that was my problem. But could I say that our privilege is to do the will of God? I know Darren Wood and Brother Andrew that's in here. There may be other men of God that I'm not aware of. I know that Brother Roger speaks also. But the greatest desire of my heart is to preach the Word of God for the simple reason I know it's His will for my life. I'd rather preach than eat. I'd rather preach than sleep. I'd rather preach than anything in this world that I do. Because I know when His will was made real to my soul, what a privilege. You see, child of God, that's in my life as a will. But what about in your life as an individual Christian? What is His gift to you? Have you ever noticed that some people just have a gift, a gab? And they can take what they know about the Word of God and just give it to others. And it seems so good. And you sit back and say, why can't I do that? You see, there is such a thing as a soul winner. And God calls soul winners just like He calls every Christian. Sure, every Christian is a soul winner. But there's some that's got a gift to do it. Amen. They some people I know win twice the souls I win to Christ. You see, they have that special gift. What a privilege. What a privilege. Not only the peril. You see, your problem is knowing it. Your privilege is doing it. Your peril is not doing it. This Bible says something like this. He said, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. God said, there is a day you're going to have to stand before God for not fulfilling the will of God in your life. I'm interested in the will of my brothers in Christ. There's not a day that passes that I don't spend time praying for my preacher friends. I call their name to God in prayer every day. You see, I'm not going to have to stand before God whether they do right or not. It's their peril if they do not carry out the will of God. You see what he's trying to tell us. It's a personal thing. It's a personal contact with God himself. And when we contact him, then it's communication. It's carrying out what he is he's given it to say. And the thing is, if you can talk about clothes on the clothesline, you can talk about Christ on the cross. Amen. You can even go so far as to say he got up. And in the words of the black preacher, he wouldn't stay dead. He died, but he wouldn't stay dead. He got up from the dead. You can talk about the resurrection of Christ. And by the way, that is the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Knowing his will. Second of all, being his witness. I love what he said in verse 15. He said, for thou shalt be his witness. Now listen to it again. Thou shalt be his witness. That's our commission. That's what you're commissioned to do. If you've been brought into the family, you have a commission. And that commission is to tell the story of Jesus and his love. The great commission is for the church. You are the church. You are the bride of Christ. That's our commission. I notice what he said. He said that you shall be his witness. Be is our character. You see, be is what you are. That you shall be. You see, there's no use talking if you hadn't been walking. The world's not going to listen to you if you're talking about Christ and you're living the life of the devil. And when we come like Saul of Tarsus did and he changes our life and we say, I want to know your will. I want to carry out that. I want to be obedient to that will. From that moment, he starts transforming us. Paul calls it into the image of Christ. So that we be what we say we are. So we got our commission, we've got our character. Unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So I'm to witness what I've seen and heard. That's my communication. I'm carrying it out to others, telling them what the Lord Jesus Christ has told me. So he starts off and he makes it explicitly clear that he has a declaration. He wants you to declare something. He said, I want you to witness. Then he said, I want you to demonstrate it. I want you to be. And the culmination of being is declaring it. You and I, when we got saved by the grace of God, we started off feeling inadequate to tell others about Christ. I got saved August 1965 on a Monday night about 9 o'clock p.m. I went to work the next morning at the post office in Atlanta, Georgia. I didn't know it. Later, I looked back and saw it. When I started working, I started praying that morning. Well, I'd prayed going to work. But when I got there, I was praying, dear Lord, please tell me what to tell them. Tell me what to say to them that has happened to me. You see, I'd been raised in church, but now I'm a baby. I don't know how to walk. I got to crawl. I'm starting off anew. And I'm praying, dear Jesus, the reason I would say dear Jesus, I just want to tell you, is in family altar at night, when it come mama's time to pray, she would say something like this, dear Jesus, would you save Dennis? You see, it was a simple third grader praying that had been made to stay home from school to work the fields. Had no education, third grade. But those simple words, "Dear Jesus," I could never get away from. The simplicity of it. He wants us to be a witness for Him. You see, I could say what I want to say, but I know I could be a better witness than I am. I'm positive you're probably saying the same thing in your heart and in your life. You see, He not only wants us to know His will, He wants us to be what it is that we know is His will. He said He wants us to declare it. Everyone that God saves, every one of them. He said, I want you to testify. Not just with your lips, but with your life. By your life being like the one you're testifying to. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in His footsteps. I want to live in the shadow of His presence. I'd like to enjoy the sunshine of His love. Knowing His will, we do what? We show forth the praises. The word praises here in Peter is the excellencies. He's telling us that we would show forth the praises of Him, the excellencies of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. An earthen vessel, clay. I won't say it is a crack pot, I'll say it is a mud pot. We're just dirt. We're made of the dust of the earth. Every one of us are crack pots, you can believe that. But what I'm saying is this. God said, I'm going to let your old crack pot show forth the moral excellencies of our God. Not ours, His excellencies. Can you imagine God using you as a conduit for Him to flow through to somebody else? So they'll get a drink of the water of life that flows through you who are a vessel that God wants to use, a vessel unto honor for the glory of Christ. And the awesome thing is, God is no respecter of person. He don't care if you're a third grader or a college graduate. God wants to use you. What I guess in my heart I'm crying to is because of my person and personality. I'm an introvert and I cannot help it. I have to make myself talk at times until I get to preaching, and then it's altogether different then. So I know that there's some in here that feels like you're not worthy. I tell you, if you get the conduit clean, God will pour through you. And He'll touch the life of others. And what are we here for? Sure, to manifest Christ, but so other lives will be touched. So that people will come to God and know Him as personal Savior. I was down in Jamaica 45 years ago, right after I'd gotten saved and God had called me to preach. I've been saved for 52 years. I've been preaching now for over 50. But I was down in Jamaica and preaching, and a little lady came to the altar. And she got up from the altar. I was sitting over in the corner on a cinder block. And she said to the pastor of the church down there, said, God had saved her. Well, no outstanding, some of them get all excited. She just calmly said, God saved me. And of course, the preacher was so excited that he just took over, you know. And after the service was over with, and we stood around and talked, and everybody was leaving. And Fran, the preacher's wife and my wife, was out delivering folks in the van that had walked in from so far. It's pitch dark. Wasn't a light out there nowhere. And I noticed as I went out, this lady was standing over by a bush about 50 feet away. She just standing there. And I went over and I said something to her, just spoke and greeted her again. And here's what she said to me. She said, "What do I do now?" Well, I wasn't sure what she was saying. And I said, I don't understand. What do you mean, what do you do now? She said, "Now that I'm saved, what do I do now?" And I said, "Read your Bible, pray, witness for Christ, love God, be faithful to the church." She said, "No, that's not what I'm talking about." I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And she said, "I've got 3 children." She said, "My husband works in the crank cane fields, and he's gone from Monday morning early to late Friday night." And said, "They bring the workers back in, and he comes home." She said, "But we've never been married, but we have 3 kids. What do I do now? Do I stay with him or leave him?" I said, "Do you love him?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Does he love you?" She said, "Oh, yes." I said, "Marry him." She said, "I can't." I said, "Why can't you?" She said, "I don't have the money." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because here in Jamaica, you can't get married unless you've got a ring. And we can't afford a ring." I said, "Do you know what a ring costs?" She said, "Yes, I've checked it." I said, "How much?" She said, $50. I said, "I'll give it to the pastor. When I leave here, you go get a ring and marry that man." 20 years later, I was invited back to that same church to preach another revival in Jamaica. That couple was sitting on the front row. 20 years later. What am I saying to you? I'm saying I didn't know that I was a conduit that God was pouring through. But God touched the family. And when I saw her sitting there, I didn't know him at that time because he wasn't there in the meeting the first time. I said to him, I said, "Tell me about her." Said, "Ever since she got saved, she's been here every service, a part of this church." You see, you never know when God's will in your life is putting somebody else in the kingdom of God. Because we're witnesses. It could be a bad witness. But God wants it to be a good witness. He says clearly that he wants you to become a witness for himself. And that's the purpose we are. So I'm going to close with this. Your highest concern is to know his will. Your highest commission is to be his witness. And your highest, are you listening? Commission is powerful if the vessel is pure for the glory of God. Bow your heads with me if you would. Father, would you help us to let our light shine that others may see Christ in us? Lord, I'm keenly aware that in this congregation this morning there could be somebody outside of Christ. But I know the majority that's here have trusted you as their Savior and they love you. I pray, our God, that you would burn deeply in their soul the truth that you saved them to be a witness. Not to take you to heaven, but that he would leave you here and you would become a witness. Father, I know there's coming a day you'll come and get us. But help us in the night of this world of sin to let the light of the love of Christ burn through us. Keep your hand, Lord, upon this local assembly. As an outsider, I can see the effect that they're having here, and I pray that you would use them for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. And Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to your hand upon our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.